chapter 14. We want to continue tonight. I read from verse 12. John chapter 14, verse 12. Before we John chapter 14, verse 12, let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I always want us to look at Ephesians 1. If you have been with us for any length of time, you should, before you finish reading the scripture, you should have read it to yourself. You should know it by now, by heart. Ephesians 1. All right, verse 16. What does it say? Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 17, we can stay there for a long time. Because what it means by those titles is more than just titles. It says, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. It's talking about the way to pray for the new creation. How do you pray for the new creation? You don't pray for a new creation based on what is passing through. You pray for a new creation based on what Christ has done for him. Let me say that again. You don't pray for a new creation based on what they are passing through. Why? Experiences can lie, but what God has done cannot be undone. Experiences can lie. Experiences can be a smoke screen. Experiences will come to an end. But what Christ has done, or what God has done in front of Christ, will never end. It will never fail. So when it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, may give unto you. When it says the Father of glory, the word glory is a reference to what he has been able to accomplish for us in Christ Jesus. It's like a summary. Like a summary. He's the Father of glory. He's your Father also. He's God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He may give unto you one, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, in knowledge of him. So here, by the Spirit of God, Paul is praying that you and I will have insight into what God did for you and I in Christ Jesus. Why? So that he can take your place. He's seeing that if revelation of what God has done doesn't come to you, you can't take your place, even though it belongs to you. So the fight really is that you and I may take our place. You are a master of demonical forces. You are a master over situations. You are even a master over elemental forces of nature. But without knowledge, you can't take your place. It means you are what God says you are, but you can't walk in the light of who you are without never learning it. So we have to pay careful attention to how the prayers for the new creation are phrased. We notice that Paul here never says anything about praying for power, but says a lot about realizing the power. We notice he doesn't ask for God to do anything except that our eyes should be opened up to see what he has done. So we have to be very careful. Like I said, you either allow experiences to dictate how you pray, or you allow the word to dictate how you pray. So the word of God in the epistles is a revelation of the new creation. Don't forget that. The word of God, the epistles, is a revelation of the new creation. So he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Says that the eyes of your one understanding. That is the one part of you that wasn't covered immediately by the new birth. The eye of your understanding is the eye of your mind. Yet your mind is a stronghold on its own. That's where decisions are made. That's where you decide what you want to experience. That's where you say no or yes to things of life. It says the eyes of your understanding, it can be open. It can be enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is God's expectation when he called you to where he called you to? When he called you to Christ, is there something he has in mind? Is there a plan? Is there an intent? Is there a purpose? That's what it means. The hope of his calling is the expectation behind the call that God gave to you and I. Has he called you to suffer? Has he called you to shame? Has he called you to defeat? Has he called you to lose in life? He says there's an expectation. And the only way you can answer those questions is when this prayer gets answered. It means the revelation that's coming out will show you clearly what was in God's mind when he called you, what was in his mind after he called you, and by seeing what he has called you into. Remember Colossians 1:12 that we saw on Sunday? That one says that giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet. That's old King James. Okay? The proper word for meet them is who has qualified us to be partakers. That word is participators. It means that for you to participate in inheritance that is carved out for the saints, you will need to be qualified. God himself qualifies you. And he qualifies you through the sacrifice of Jesus. So through that sacrifice, he qualifies you. That means when you got saved, that's one word to describe what happened. You were born again. That's another word to describe what happened. You were made righteous. That's another word to describe what happened. Your sins were eternally forgiven. That's another word. You were made a son. That's another word for it. All those words are describing the same thing. It now says you are made a partaker or a participator. That is, you are sharing in something. In other words, you were qualified no longer to be a spectator, but to be a participator in Christ. That's what it means. It says you are giving thanks to God who has qualified us to be participators in inheritance that strictly for the saints that are in light. How did he do that? Colossians 1:20 says, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has what? Translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. You know, that single scripture simply means that you were oppressed and suppressed and ruled over. You were not just released from oppression. You were not just released from being subjected. You are now made a conqueror over those who once oppressed you. That's what it means. Who has delivered us from the authority of power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of what? His dear son. So once you understand, does the son have a kingdom? Yes. Who are the subjects in that kingdom? They are sons too. They rule with him. They share the same inheritance. They are in the light and they have authority over darkness. So the kingdom of his son simply means that you share dominion with him. That means you rule and you reign also with him. Hallelujah. So the prayers of Paul, he uses different phrases to express the same thing. So go back to Ephesians now. Ephesians, we were in verse 8. Okay? So in verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which what? Wrought in Christ. We will leave the word power alone there for now, because we have discovered that the greatest demonstration of power, the greatest concentration of what's describing what God has done in anywhere in the Bible is found in that one verse. That means beyond the power that was used or exercised in creating the heavens and the earth, there's more power found in this singular event than any other event. So in raising Jesus from the dead, theologically has been accepted as the greatest display of power that God has ever demonstrated. Here's the challenge. When he raised Jesus, he didn't raise him alone. He raised us together with him. Hallelujah. So, notice why that prayer is important. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Why? You often feel powerless. You often feel like you don't have any authority. You often feel by experiences as though, you know, you are a weakling. That you are subject to things and things are not subject to you. But the testimony of God by the Spirit is that the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from. So he tells you when it was done. It tells you how it was done. It tells you when it was done. And it tells you through whom it was done. It was done through Christ. When he raised him from dead and set him. So we can put it this way. When he raised Christ, the power that was in demonstration didn't just release him from the hold of death. He didn't just raise him out of the grave. That same power set him at God's right hand in the heavenlies far above. So he took power to set Jesus where he is. Hallelujah. So look at verse 20 now. Which he wrought in Christ when he won, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all. So what does it mean to set him in the heavenlies? It means he has been set far above all what? Principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but what? Also in that which is to come. So John chapter 14 now, quickly. John chapter 14. The instructions of Jesus make more sense to us because we are Looking at it from the fulfillment, Jesus was speaking of it as a promise. We are looking at it from the angle of when it has been fulfilled. So we have a better view. We have a clear understanding because we're looking at it from the end point. Jesus spoke of it futuristically, what will happen. We are now in the fulfillment. So we're looking back to have a clear understanding of what he was saying. What did Jesus say? John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 12. Verily I say unto you, hallelujah. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So again, we're looking at that verse scripture. Verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? And greater. So notice the word works after greater is italicized. So we can read it like this. Verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do, because I want go unto my Father. So we've established what does it mean to go to the Father in the light of what we just read in Ephesians 1. You know, we have different phrases for describing going to the Father, because it is telling you why you will do greater things. Why will you do greater things? I go to my Father. You can't understand what going to the Father is except you have now seen the epistles that he has gone to the Father. Is he with the Father right now? What does it mean to go to the Father? We've said this so many times, so by now you should. What does it mean to go to the Father? What does it mean to go to the Father? What does it mean to go to the Father? And what? He said, to die, resurrect, and be glorified. Okay, that's one way. Yeah. Any other one? So what? To be a place of authority. Okay. Any other one? No, we can say the same thing different ways. He just said he died, resurrected, and was glorified. Glorified is a short word for after resurrection he sat. That's what it means to be glorified. So he's using the same phrase. We saw Psalm 110 the other time, isn't it? We saw Psalm 110. So look at Psalm 110 again. The beautiful thing about the word of God is that everything that Jesus did was spoken of before he did it, years before he did it, by different men who didn't personally know him. But it was revealed to the man. Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at what? My right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So we examine the fact that this is a prophecy about who? About who? About Jesus. So this is a prophecy about what will happen when God becomes a man. And that his assignment will be to sit at the Father's right hand. The Father here is speaking as God, because the Son was yet to be. So he now says, sit at my right hand till. Till means that in order, or the reason why you are the right hand, is so that your enemies can become your, my what? Footstool. I want you to understand that. So how is he going to exercise it? Jesus told us, verily I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do, and greater than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it. Do you see that? I will do it. That the Father may be one glorified in the Son. Now listen carefully. Look at that verse 13. That's verse 13 of John's Gospel. John 14, 13. Verily I say unto you that believeth on me, the works that you shall do also, greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. Next verse. And whatsoever you shall what? Ask. This is not prayer. Whatever you shall ask here is whatever you will demand as your right in my name. In my name. Remember the first thing he said. Let's connect it together. Because I'm taking this through because you need to get this. Verily, I say unto you, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. He now says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. So is there something about his name and going to the Father? Is there a connection between his name and going to the Father? Because he told you, greater than this shall you do. Now, when he sent them out before this day, before this hour, when he was sharing with them, he gave them delegated authority in his name. Which means they use the name of Jesus, who was anointed of the Spirit, to cast out demons and to heal the sick. But he now says, when I go to the Father, whatsoever you shall ask in my name or demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the use of the name, when he was with them and he sent them, was in a delegated category. But the use of name when it goes to the Father will not be a function of delegation. Let me say it again. Whatever the name meant when he sent them out, in Luke chapter 10 he sent them, in Luke chapter 9 he sent them, when he sent them, they came back with news. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Luke 10, 17. And gave us to them, rejoice not because demons are subject, but rejoice that your names are what? Written in heaven. Now, he sent them, that was delegated authority. That means he gave them the power of attorney to use his name. Which is, if I'm not there, use it on my behalf. It should do whatever I would do. He now says, I go to my Father, and going to my Father means you guys will do greater things. He now says, and whatsoever, and means I'm continuing the statement. I want to explain to you what greater is. Greater now means that whatever you demand in my name, that will I do, that the Father. So when they were using this word, the Father wasn't being glorified in that sense. But now the Father will be glorified in the Son. Let me see what that means. For the Father to be glorified in the Son means that when you're now using the name you're using will only work, listen carefully, because of what the name now means. He just told you, I go to the Father. Going to the Father is paying for our sins, rising up to show we're justified, ascending to the highest place of authority in the universe. That was when he was given the name. So the name now and the Father's right hand are synonymous. Let me say it another way. The name of Jesus is the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Should I backtrack a little? You know, church is interesting. I can see your faces. Which one is this again? So when we are now praying, we say, Father, in your right hand. No, no. You don't pray that way. You don't pray that way. See, it's the same way like this. Now, again, when we're looking at the name and the Father's right hand are synonymous. The Father's right hand is Jesus' destination from the earth. His whole earth work was to fulfill Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit down on my right hand. For him to say to him, sit down, he has to first be born as a man. So, the original writers, what was there was too fearful for them to write. What was there was Jehovah said to Jehovah. That doesn't make any sense. How can Jehovah be a Jehovah's there? So he said that Jehovah said to Adonai, they changed it. If you feel for them, it's difficult to comprehend that God can become a man. Now we are looking at the fulfillment, so it's easier for us to see. So what really became is that God put on flesh. You know, Emmanuel doesn't mean God is now around us. No. Emmanuel means God has become as one of us. A man. And in order to express all he could do, and I told you on Sunday, the reason why God became a man, salvation is the end result, but the major purpose even in salvation is to change the minds of men concerning what they once knew about God. If we can get the fact that God wants you to know him for who really is, not what you have heard. Because this thing that we have heard is a major issue in prayer and in our conversations. I mean, you are blood-bought, blood-washed, and you are still afraid of your Father. And you call him Father. We use the name of Jesus like talisman. Say it 7 times. Thunder must strike. Because we're using this magic formula thing. We're not thinking fellowship. We're not thinking life. We're not thinking sonship. Paul told us, but God who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he loved us. The word rich in mercy is not telling you what God has now become because Jesus died. It's telling you who God has always been that you never knew until Jesus died. Did you get what I said? Can you see the difference? But God who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy is God's label, God's CV from the foundation of the earth. That's what the Bible says, that if God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? What does that mean? He doesn't mark it. Who marks it? Men and the law. He has never marked, he has never counted, he has never recorded it, but men do. So God who is rich in mercy is not getting born again in Jesus. God has changed though. We used to deal with people back then. No. God will switch in mercy. It's God's CV, God's personality, which people could not see until Jesus died and rose. And the word rising means that something happened when Jesus rose. The veil was removed. Veil means that whatever clouded the understanding of men from seeing him as he really is was removed. In other words, we could say that Jesus died so that men could see God as he really is. I'm saying a lot tonight, but we need to get it. Jesus died so that men could see God as he really is. In the series of Mourning and Forgiveness, I tried to prove the few things was that between God and man, who was angry? He was man. He wasn't God. God was never angry from day one. It was man that was angry. And that is still difficult for us. No, no, Pastor, no, no. I know God. You don't know him. The way he told me, my mother told me that that's the problem. Reported speech. But God, who is, not now is, he is rich in mercy, in his great love, where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and trespasses. That means even in that state, to prove that I am still not angry, even when you're in that state. Much more now that you are a son. Think about it. So his death gave us the spirit. What's the assignment of the spirit? To unveil to our understanding who the Father has always been. But we couldn't see except the Son came and gave us an understanding. That's so important. Because that revelation affects your prayer. It affects your work. It enables your boldness in all areas. Never will you think again, I didn't have my quiet time this morning. That's why something bad happened. No, you face whatever is seemingly negative and you command it to cease. Why? You know it doesn't have a right where you are concerned. You're confident, you're bold. You're no longer subject to lies or deception. That's what it means. That's so important. So he says, to fulfill that scripture, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down. How will he sit there? He has to pass through death to sit there. He has to pay the price to sit there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when Jesus was saying, this, he says, the works that I do shall you do, greater works than this. Remember what he just told them before he said that. In that same John chapter 14, look at verse 9. Or verse 10. Look at verse 10. Thank you. The believers now not am the Father and the Father in me. The word that I speak unto you, I speak not myself. But one, the Father, that one dwells in me, he does the works. Look at next verse. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work. What is he discussing here? Works. Can you see that? What is he discussing? Works. How is he explaining works to them? The Father's indwelling. So when you see him go to verse 12, don't lose sight of what he has been talking about. What's talking about? Works in the light of the Father's what? Indwelling. He says, can't you see by now that the Father dwells in me? You are still asking, where's the Father? That the works that you're seeing come forth is to display character. It's not even to display power. It's to display the Father's character. So when it says in verse 11, believe me that I'm what? I'm in the Father, and Father in me. In your state of understanding right now, which is people who are spiritually dead, he says, at least believe for the very work's sake. How are the works manifesting the Father dwells in me? So what will verse 12 now mean? Very rarely I say unto you, the works that I do. Jesus, how are you doing the works the Father dwells in me? It wasn't like do shall you do also, and greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. What does I go to my Father now mean? That's what you just said. Because the Father will not dwell in you. If you got that, let me see that. I've just jumped, I know, but I want to believe that you got it. How many of you got that? Beautiful. So he's talking about the indwelling. Let me say it again. Sitting at the Father's right hand means that what? The Father dwells where? The Father dwells where? Now, a single prophecy. Look at the implications. As Jesus fulfilled Psalm 110 verse 1. Yes. In fulfilling it, what was the outcome? We can do greater works. What does it mean to be able to do greater works? The Father dwells where? In us. Now, let me say it another way. God, we can say the same thing in different ways. If Father dwells in you, does it mean the Father has chair and table? Sitting room? Is that what it means? Now, if Father, because I mean, you saw Jesus and looking on Mary and says, the Father dwells in me. And the only sign we know that the Father dwells in me is because he has the Spirit. Jesus had the Spirit, isn't it? So, is it safe to say that you receiving the Spirit at Jesus' glorification is the Father dwelling in you? Is that the same thing? Beautiful. Now, so look at it this way now. The Father dwelling in me will also mean the Father's DNA is in me. The Father's genes in me, or I carry my Father's genetic constitution. So why are you seeing works? Is my Father's character being displayed? I am my Father's son. I'm not displaying to show off. I'm just showing forth the Father's nature. So what Jesus is calling greater is the fact that none of you will use delegated authority. The authority you will use will be your own authority, because you will be sons as I am a son. What does that mean? When you say name of Jesus, stop looking at it as asking God for permission. God, I want to use that name. Make sure it works. Stop looking at it as you know, it's like saying, when you are going to the Father, here's the picture in our mind. I can't come to the Father without the name of Jesus. You are right. The only problem is what you mean and what I mean. What you mean is not what I mean. When you say I can't come to Father without the name of Jesus, what I mean is that I can't come to Father without being a new creation. What you mean is that if I don't mention that name, I won't have audience. No. Audience is not mentioning name. Audience is knowing you and the name are one. So, when I say, Father, thank you, I just use the name of Jesus. Only I didn't follow your religious idea. I didn't say, Father, 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 Lord God. In name of, you know, we use some other, see, Father is one. Lord is another. Jesus is called Lord in the epistles. The Father is never called us. So I don't say, Father, Lord God. That's, there's confusion. And who says that, Father, in the name of Jesus, are you right? Yes, you are right. But the other person who says, Father, thank you for this, according to what so and so and so, that person has just used the name of Jesus. Because when he said Father, you are doing that in the name. So using the name of Jesus is not the same thing as mentioning the name of Jesus. You can use them without mention, but you can mention without using. Are we agreed? Good. So see what it says again. It says, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than this shall you, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in that name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So what Jesus is saying, if we have the same Father, we carry the same DNA, it simply means that there is nothing, now listen carefully, because before you say it's blasphemy, there is nothing wrong wherever you are operating if we also call you Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 20. This is why we pray. You are not the one who prays. Me, I also pray. That's how I can see the things I'm sharing with you. This is why you there are some things you went. I don't know about you, but if you really pray and study, and you study, you have not closed your Bible fan. You blasted tongues. Because what you saw, your mind was staggering. So you need stabilize. You need inner strength to carry the light that you just saw that. So you want to ingest it and settle down, and you have to do that before you lose it, because it's so far removed from your religious experiences. And yet, if you can stay at that level, I mean, listen, that's why I don't understand how some people just go on social media and start saying nonsense. Some of these people that people say that you are not Christocentric, you don't know what Christocentric is. You think Christocentric is just teaching on social media. If you meet men who are Christocentric, like Pastor Gumi, his words are not Christocentric. His character is. Someone in the crusade. I mean, if you go to that crusade, you're a word man. You'll be very angry at the way he prays. That what's that? That's not even scriptural. It's not in line with the Pauline revelation. You don't know anything. You're saying, maybe you didn't get born again at that. Have you been to school before? When he's about to pray for the sick, he's one of the most orderly men I've ever met in my life who prays for the sick. He prays for the sick in different categories. It's now time to pray for the blind. My Father, I beg you, heal them. I mean, your theology will say, no. Why are you begging? But you see, When he says, I beg you, his faith is released. That's what's happening. So, do away with the cliches and everything. See miracle. You see, it's now time to pray for the lame. My father, heal them. And limbs are walking. And you pray for 3 hours, nothing happened. You don't know that the man knew something. I mean, he's leaving crusade ground and they bring somebody possessed in sin by the window side. And he looks at the person. Leave him. He doesn't check and he drives off. He knows something. And the thing left. There was no gyration. Because of demon. But you are using, we are Christo. You see, conk madness live with the cough. You are still saying you are. He knows things. It's not just anointing or grace. These people know some things. There's some things he's just saying now. He has known. He couldn't say it. He didn't know. He has known. But because he has taught some other things, he just said, but some of these people know things. Forget about the language that is sometimes used. It is that knowledge that makes you participate more than average in inheritance that belongs to all of us. Nobody has more inheritance than the other, but there are people who are expressing their inheritance more than others. And it's the same truth that are in the Bible. I wasn't joking when I told you that there are some things you will have your praying and you're studying that you will see. I don't know about you, but I shout. I'm shaking. I'm like, oh my goodness. The magnitude of what I just saw. Because it just bats boldness in you. You're not afraid. I didn't just start looking at people who are demonizing their eyes suddenly because I saw somebody doing it. No, something entered me. And I started. And I noticed that they couldn't look me in the eye. They couldn't look me in the eye. I was conscious. Who has the authority between us? It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What name? When I go to the Father's right hand, my name will mean what it has never meant. That Father's right hand that David spoke about, when he says, the Lord said, my Lord, sit at my right hand, that name will mean all the authority the Godhead has. It's not delegated. It is that the Father can't move or do anything outside of me again. That's what it means. The Father has vested all power in me, and I'm sharing that power with you. That is serious. So we saw in Matthew, look at Matthew again, Matthew 28. I'm putting all these stuff together because I need you to get crazily bold. Crazily bold. You see a madman, you know we run from the other. Fear is perceptible in the realm of the spirit. In fact, it's not just realm of speech. In the realm of the senses, it's perceptible. It has a smell. Dogs, they smell it. Have you noticed? When you are afraid, dogs know. And when you are not, dogs know. Dogs know. When there's some dogs, you run away from. Now you know you don't know. I've gone to ask my friend of mine before. He's so lazy. And he was doing naming, trusting God for so long. And then, so I went all the way from this place. His neighbor had these pit bulls, giant-sized beans. You know, they call them beans. The size are like there. The head is like this, like a trophy. Whether he's angry or not angry, just the sight. The only reason why I went to that compound is because I was not afraid. If you go there, open the womb bite, you are finished. Hope will not work. Three of them, the size of their head is bigger than my head. So they will not, they can smell it. This person is afraid. And they just automatically just attack. Except the handler is there that just stops. The same thing also. That's the reason why that demon inside arrange those seven, just arrange them. Those seven songs of Skiva. Do you know what it means for a demon to beat seven people? That means one by one. What are you doing? You're waiting to be beaten? I don't understand. Seven of you. None of you have sense to take the window. And they ran out shootless and shirtless. One single being possessed by demons. He just said, the way they use it, the demons are, oh, okay, he just came. It's all right. You don't know what he's saying. Jesus, I know, I know. Paul, I have experience. Who are you? And you know who they were? You thought it was by mentioning. And unfortunately, most believers think it's by mentioning. That's the sad part. It is the same way believers think that by putting a Bible under your pillow, bad days will stop. It will multiply. It's black in color. Imagine putting judges under your pillow. All those stories in judges. All those just Leviticus under your pillow. No. When you want to put Bible under your pillow, put scriptures under your pillow. Scriptures means that if you place your head on the pillow, you are sleeping in your mind. The part that is not your pillow that needs, it's your mind that needs the scripture. Now put Bible, say, Pastor, I don't understand. The bad things increase, it will increase. Because you are picking this black thing that somebody wrote, who is not even born again, who wrote it, put it there. The letter is not born again, the pages are not born again. They just wrote it, you now put it on that pillow, believing like a talisman it will work. It's not a talisman. It's the knowledge inside that makes sense. If I burn this book, God will not be angry. It's a book. What I can't burn are the truths inside it. Hallelujah. We need to quit being religious. Religion doesn't help anyone. Hallelujah. The New Testament is not here. It's in the hearts of men. Hallelujah. I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds when I put it. Isn't it? Yeah. So you just have a record, but the testament itself is in our hearts. It can't be burnt where it is. It can't be tampered where it is. Hallelujah. So verse 13 again. Okay, we're here. Okay, thank you. Said, and this is speaking and saying, all power is given unto me where? In heaven. And in, this was what he never told them when he first sent them out. He never said all power. He even told them where not to go when he was first sending them out, which is, my delegated authority can only work there. Go not into the city of the Samaritans. He told them, don't go there. Go only to the lordship of Israel. That's where my authority extends to. But yeah, he now says, all power is given unto me where? In heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. So all power here is what? The Father's right hand. Jesus is with them physically, and yet Jesus is at the Father's right hand. So the Father's right hand is not a sitting position. It's an authority that Jesus has. And that authority and the name are the same. It was when he was exalted to that right hand that he was given the name. Hallelujah. So when he says, and whatsoever shall ask in my name, what will he mean? Whatsoever shall ask in my authority. Jesus, what is your authority? All the authority the Father has. Think about it. All. It means the Father will not be seen exercising any authority except the one he does through the Son, Jesus. Glory to God. That's what it means. The Father's right hand. That's the authority we possess. Now, what is, how does the Bible describe that authority in Ephesians 1 that we just read? He has set him far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And that church is the fullness of him that fills all in all. In other words, the church is the embodiment of all the authority that Jesus has. That's what it means. So when we are praying, we exercise our authority. When we are speaking, we exercise our authority. Why do we need revelation? So that we can be sure and confident about what that authority can do. It can't be resisted. It can't be resisted. When you know it can't be resisted, your conduct will be different. And sometimes after you've worked in it to measure, even when you see something contrary, you are so sure of what you are handling that you are not moved by external things. I mean, Wigusot has been known many, many times. If I've prayed for you, you are healed. You just don't have enough sense to know it. That's how he speaks. Can you imagine? Very rough fellow. Wigusot. Say if I pray for... So, there was an in line in local assembly and the minister to people, he now told them, I'm going to call for another in line tomorrow. If I minister to you today, don't join the in line tomorrow. So the next day when he was praying, so there was a man who was limping, he sneaked into the line. The pastor was the one who was helping people from the to the pulpit. He knew this man was in there next day. He went and told him that, don't go there. He now felt like, you know, as a pastor, your heart's like, okay, the man is still not feeling well. So the pastor was like, well, let me help them. He was like, I hope the minister will not notice that he has prayed for this man before. You hope the person who is in the spirit will not notice. Somebody who is in the spirit. So, when he helped the man up, the man was on crutches. When he got to Smith, he started praying for him. And just stop. You have prayed for yesterday. He said, yes, but I was not healed. Say, shut up. Don't talk unbelief to me. You were healed. You just don't have enough sense to know it. He turned man and kicked him in the seat of his breeches. Off the stage platform. The platform was high like this. Kicked him off with crutches and all. The guy landed on his feet and was walking straight. You can't do that, though. If you don't know something, you had better know. That means there is something that the guy is counting on. There's an account he's drawing from. An account is so sure. He's so sure of that account, expense of men can't change his mind. He's so conscious of it, so full of it, so conscious of it. And he's a man like you and I. He just gave himself over to that revelation. That's why I ask the question, if you see a demonized person, why do you shake? You've heard stories. Stories of all kinds. If you would have done, I mean, much better if those stories did not exist. Think about it. And if some Nollywood scripts were never written, you would have done much better. You've heard all kinds of stories, which you didn't need. But you need to hear this particular story. This one is a good one. The more you hear of it, the bolder you become. Hallelujah. There is a boldness that these people used that you know that they were conscious of the authority. In fact, they stood as Jesus would stand in different places per time. It was told of Alexander Dowie that every single time he crossed continents on ship, and was rampant in those days, there will be storms that arise. Not occasionally. He did it 9 different times. And he rebuked storms 9 different times. And the storms were still 9 different times. So it wasn't something I was trying to experiment. He will come on the shipboard and some and say, be still in the name of Jesus. And every single time he stopped to show you, it was a law that was in operation. It wasn't hope. It wasn't that maybe let's just start and see how God will answer the prayer. No. When those ones say they want to pray for prayer, ready to stop. Drop your umbrella. The rain will stop. Because they know. Let me put it this way. It is what God doesn't want that God tells them, don't do this thing. Do you hear what I say? I mean, Kenigan said, I began to understand how much authority a believer has. When he wanted to pray about the power, and Jesus said, please, don't pray. You know what you're saying? You have the power. You know, we share it. Don't use it that way. It's not good for you to use that way now. Why was he saying that? Because it will work. So the only thing to do is not that I won't stop you from working. I can only appeal to you not to use it that way. How many years on sorry? Jesus, don't do it. He said, why? He said, it's time for him to come home. This is the best time for him to come home. Let him come home now. But he said, concerning his own mother, who was passing on, who was dying, and he wanted to stop her from dying, Jesus said, let her come. This is the best time. And he said, no. He said, "This I have not had time to take over. She has suffered so much. He said that this is the best time for her to come. Just let her come now, because she has suffered so much and she doesn't know the things you've thought about faith. So let her come." And again, still pressed in prayer and said, "No, I want her to stay. I have to give her 10 more years at least." Said, "If you don't give her 10 more years from today till eternity until I come and meet you, I will remind you that I actually do it. You can't talk like you don't know that you are a son." How many events are there? But Kenegi himself confessed. He said his mother suffered. She lived what she said. You understand why you said don't do it. Say she lived what she suffered. Say you give her 10 more years, but she suffered. But now, I said that to say this. There are some prayers you pray. You're saying, I don't know whether it's the will of God. If it's not the will of God, God will answer. No, God will answer. Answers will come. It's in fellowship that he tries to tell you, maybe you shouldn't do it that way or not. But don't give the excuse of, it wasn't God's will. No. If you're using the name, you are in the name. You and the name are one. You have that kind of authority. Hallelujah. You have that kind of authority. We need to stop saying these things that, you know, whether it's the will of God, if it's the will of God, God will not. You have it. You can even use it wrongly. He can advise you and say that maybe you should try it this way instead. We have that kind of authority. In our prayers, sometimes appear beggarly. Ah, oh, we God answer this kind of prayer. We God answer this kind of prayer. You know who you are. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know who has made you? And it's not a function of boast. It's something he did by himself. He did it by himself. Oh God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead, has quickened us together, he has raised us together, and made us sit together with Christ in the heavenly places. He has done all that to show how rich he is in his mercy. So beyond what you were qualified for, he qualified you. Say, I'm no weakling. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through his ability that's at work in me. His ability is mighty in me. I change the destiny of nation. I change the outcome of situations. All authority, all power is vested in me. Through the wisdom of God, I exercise this daily. Hallelujah. You are a believer. You wake up. You tell yourself, I'm going to the east to return. Not I'm going to the east, open our return. I'm going to the east to return. Events arrange themselves around your utterance. Not the other way around. Events arrange themselves around your utterance. Circumstances rearrange to fulfill what you have said. You are the son of the living God. If it's summarized on the horizon, you dispel it with ease. You have all power and all authority. You are meant to put things in order where there is disorder or chaos. That's who you are. There's no chaos in you. There's divine order within you. Hallelujah. So God exercises order through you, to your prayers, to your actions, to your utterances. You stand in your place. You do it. That's why you go to the office, you are being harassed, you are being... a believer. They are slandering me. They're lying about me. You should multiply. In that way. You wake up in the morning, you speak. You tell me in the day's events how it will be. Today, there are no disappointments. All the contracts coming. All the phone calls yield fruitful results. When I speak, the favor of God within me reconciles the hearts of men. You are speaking because of the rich abundance of the heritage that is yours in Christ Jesus. When are you going to learn to speak that way and exercise that authority? When are you going to speak as though you are not under the authority of the enemy? You're no longer praying, hoping there will be answers. You know it's the only area where you don't want answers that you won't pray. You already know what the answers will be before you even pray. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a son of God. I'm one with Christ. All authority is mine, today and always. I have authority over all principalities and powers and everything that is named. I have dominion and might over every being on the earth. Hallelujah. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, John 14:13, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What does that mean? It means Christ will do it in and through you, and that's how the Father gets glory. So when you're doing it as who you really are, who is getting the glory? The Father. Why is he getting glory? Every time you do it, you use your authority, the Father is taking the glory, because what he did in Christ is now a reality through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is one of the best ways to praise God. To do the works of Jesus. That's one of the best ways to praise God. To do the works of Jesus. So the Father will be glorified in the Son. It means that to prove that all these things that you're doing are a result of what the Father has done in me. Or he has really, really given me all authority. When you walk in it, the Father's will is being done. I want you to imagine something. Imagine all that God wrought in Christ. Set him at his own right hand. Then no believer is working it. Do you know you have aborted the Father's plan? He was not exalted for himself. He was exalted for you. Think about it. If you are not doing it, that means you have just aborted the Father's plan. It means his plan is not that Jesus should just have the highest name. It is because the name was given for your benefit. so that you could have that name and enjoy that name. Think about it. So his exaltation is our exaltation. His glorification is our what? Glorification. When we now use the name, he said the Father is being glorified in the Son. In the Son means in all that Jesus wrought. God is getting glory, not in Jesus sitting, in the believer walking in it. In being walking in it. Mark 16:15. I'm going to run up there. And then we'll pray. When we come together, that's one of the reasons why it's difficult for us not to pray for revelation. Because we say some things, they're like, okay, okay. Hallelujah. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. What is the name of Jesus? All the authority at the Father's right hand. If you read that way, it will make sense. So, with the backing of all the authority that the Father has, what will you do? You will cast out devils. You will what? You will speak with new tongues. Maybe we'll continue from here tomorrow. I still don't get it. And that's why we pray. How many of you can speak in tongues? Do you know tongues is physical proof that you are now telling us you can cast out devils? Tongues is physical proof. Tongues is physical proof. Which is, do you know if you are not cast out, you are lying? May you not lie. But since you are not speaking in tongues, you just told us that if you take any deadly sin, it shall not hurt you. That's what you just did by speaking in tongues. If you have one, you have all. You cannot have one and not have the other. The language is the language of those who are in Christ. And to be in Christ means you cast out devils, you heal the sick. So there are parts of your inheritance you are not walking in because of light. Yet that you are walking in a measure shows you have all. Tongues is proof that you are a demon casting out, sick healing, poison bashing believer. That's what tongues means. How tongues mean? In my name. In the authority that I have. They shall speak with new tongues. Next verse. They shall take up serpents. That's, they will destroy the works of the devil. That's what they shall take up. And if they think, don't go and take up snakes. Serpents means that the works of darkness. Okay, sir. And if they drink, if, notice if, conditional. Okay, if means accidental. If doesn't mean you go and take a bottle of turpentine. Okay, so. If they take any, it shall not hurt them. So after the Lord has spoken, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Why will you just remove some and leave them? I mean, everything goes together. He's telling you the characteristics of those who are at the Father's right hand. Are you at the Father's right hand? Are you in the name of Jesus? He's telling you all the characteristics that are there. You can't take one and leave the other. They all come together in one package. That's what it means. After he had told them, say, this is Jesus, these things will be manifesting through you from now. When you see it manifesting, I'm just telling you so that you won't find it strange. Then it disappeared from their sight. And I told you the other time, look at what it says after. See what it says. It was received up in the heaven, and what? He sat on what? The right hand of God. And I told us that in Christ's reality of his indwelling, the revelation will not come to them if Jesus doesn't leave their sight. So when he said he was going, he said, I will come to you. So when he was ascending, look as he was still going away. He said, but that going is me coming to you. So the Spirit has been given. Christ is dwelling in us now. But if he stays physically within their sight, they will not be able to believe that he dwells where? In them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you agree with that? That's one of the reasons why he had to leave their sight. It means he stayed away from the realm of their senses. And that's why he could appear in the vision anytime they needed it. He appeared to Saul of Tarsus. He appeared to Saul when he was walking in the coming church in coming, when he was afraid at night, in a vision. He always appears in a vision. Why? He's already dwelling inside of you. So without the vision, he's at work in you. Hallelujah. He's at work in you. So, okay. So Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've been wanting to see visions. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. You shouldn't want to. Because there are ones he has given you spiritual visions on the inside. If there's a need for a spectacular one, he will give you. He will give you. But don't crave. Don't crave. It's right to crave spiritual experiences, but there's a way to crave them, and there's an alternative way to crave them. You want to see, focus on the ones he shows you in your spirit. For they are the ones that belong to every single believer. If there's a need to give you another, beyond that, he will give you a spectacular one. But if you persist, you will open the door for the enemy to deceive you. So don't crave for spectacular visitations. Understand that the greatest revelation is that he lives in you today. Is at work in you today. If you run with that, you will see more manifestation of his power than at any other time. Remember, it takes lesser faith to act on what he says to you in a vision and more faith to act on what he says to you in your heart. So learn to follow the one he says to you in your heart. For with those kind of sacrifices, God is well pleased. God is well pleased. God is well pleased. God is well pleased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I said that for someone who is here. Okay? So, just take it to that instruction. Don't crave some of those things. Let it be according to his own personal workings. That means that the reason why you don't have certain spectacular visions, sincerely, it has nothing to do with your spirituality. It has everything to do with his own plans for you. Okay? So, those who have are not better off, really. And like I said, or like the Spirit said, through the message I give now, it takes less faith to act on what it says to you in the vision. It takes more faith to act on what it says to you in your heart. And whenever more faith is in operation, God is pleased. God is pleased. Hallelujah. Don't forget that. God is pleased. Okay? It means you can be trusted. It means you are mature. It means the truth of God's word is more real to you than experiences. And that's important. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's start tonight by just giving thanks to the Father. I want us to start by just appreciating him for all the things he has done for us. He has placed us at his own right hand. He has given us the name of Jesus. He has made us sons. He has made us sons. Let's thank him that we grow to a greater degree, a stronger appreciation for what he has done for us, every one of us. 2019 will be a year of much appreciation of the works of Jesus in lives of every believer. In this local assembly, we'll appreciate to a greater degree. In this local assembly, more men, more women will walk in the light of what Christ has done. In this local assembly, we have giants of the faith will emerge. Giants of the faith will emerge. Men that cast out demons. Men that heal the sick. Men that win the lost. Men that start ministries. Works, works, works will spring forth from this place, this coming year. Not just in this assembly. Every assembly like this, more men will be released. More men will go forth for the harvest. More men will take up the responsibility. More men will heed the call. More men will be activated. More men will come bold to run with the light of the Master's torch. They will run with the light of his plans and purpose. More men, more men, more men. None will say, I'm not called. All will say, I've heard the call. I will heed the call. Many more in this assembly and beyond this assembly. We go forth, we run. We run. The message will be clear. Their understanding, it will be clear. They will be greatly emboldened. Aha, Seku, Leni, Ekubana, Suzobros, Tekili, Gashta. There will be visions for confirmation. Visions for confirmation. Direct instructions. Specific messages. Clear prophecies. We go forth to confirm the call of many. Elena Ko, Zokubradia Lashte, Linko Gusa, Frakalantia, Anikini Gristo, like a blanket, like a mighty blanket. The glory of God will cover. Hasibrodika, Ligrius to Guga Ligriji. Men will awake in the glory of God. Lino Sabrukushta. The operations of the Spirit will greatly increase, will greatly increase. The clouds of the manifestation of the Father's power and glory and might will be seen among, between, and in gatherings of believers. Ele dugros dekia, le gronga sivrada kolo, atele griki shibrekos to gugrada. Much discussions about the Savior, many discussions about the Master, many, many conversations about his love. It will greatly multiply. The heart heart of men will be gripped by the Father's love. 2019, a year of astonishing glory, a year harvest from the streets, harvest from areas, harvest from towns, harvest from cities, harvest from places far and near, harvest online. Jesus, yes, Lord Jesus, oh Father, these things are reality, these things are fulfilled in our days, these things come to pass. 2019, I want us to pray for synergy among ministries. Okay, I saw that a lot of wars of strife due to doctrinal divides, that's mostly work of the flesh and work of the enemy. And the next 2 years, there's going to be a lot of synergy. I saw like molten lava, God's love melting walls of resentment. I just saw it being poured. God's love like molten lava, melting walls of resentment between ministers, between ministries. So can we just pray in the spirit about that in the name of Jesus? Yeah, yeah. Father, you have the last laugh. You have the last laugh. You have the last laugh. Oh, thank you for words of resentment, words of deception. They fall, they crumble, they crumble, they crumble until they are no more. Thank you for synergy. Thank you for the love of the body that overwhelms every other private agenda. Hallelujah. If you can sit down, I just want to share something with us. I want to pray about someone. Peter's deliverance from prison. The narrative we have in Acts of Apostles chapter 12 is that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The book of Acts is not a book of doctrine. It's a book of experiences recorded in the early church. But in Philippians 1 and verse 19, Paul said, I know that it shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. What happened to Peter? Well, I believe that Psalm 34 was fulfilled. The angel of the Lord encamped around them and fear him and what? And deliver them. Through the prayer of the saints, Peter was delivered. Now we have one of us, this is Olukoya. Our brother was kidnapped last Thursday. Okay, he works with the oil and gas concern, I think in Port Harcourt. He was kidnapped and they're holding him for ransom. So we're going to pray that he will be supernaturally released and he will come back home alive and well, walk back home with his own 2 feet without any harm whatsoever in the name of Jesus. Can we pray that tonight? I just pray. Mr. Olukoya, the brother, we declare his release. We declare his release from the hands of kidnappers tonight in the name of Jesus. He's released safe and sound. He supernaturally let go of no harm whatsoever. Nothing delays his release again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is released. And Akule Brush the Kalis. Let's give him thanks. Let's glory to God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Yeah, we have the last laugh. Yeah, we have the last laugh. Father, we exalt you to that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For your good and your mercy endures forever. We give you praise, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.